Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Read from verses 1 to 4. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in the families of all the earth will be blessed, or in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We pray, Lord, as we come and we pray and we worship, as we listen to your word, God, that you open up our hearts to see the wonderful things of your law, God, to see the wonderful things of your word, and just to hear you speak, Lord, to hear your voice, to know you, God, and to just come and to worship you and to praise your holy, mighty name. We thank you. We pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. This passage is a very familiar passage to us, about detailing how God spoke to Abraham, or Abram at the time, and his promise that he gave to him. It's actually the first promise that he makes to Abram. And one thing that we teach quite a bit, or I've been taught, at least growing up in church, and one thing that we teach at church is that Abram... Oh, thank you. Perfect. Abram had this incredible obedience, and throughout his life story that you can read in Genesis, and throughout how writers have wrote about him in the Bible, one of the hallmarks of Abram is his obedience, and because of his obedience, it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed in God so much that God told him, "Do this," and Abram was like, "Okay, I'll do it." And it was a done deal. Even to the point where he goes, "Go sacrifice your wife." And he's like, "Okay, I'll do it." And what we don't see sometimes, or what doesn't get emphasized, I think, and it, I don't know, maybe it puts some pressure on us, maybe not, is the fact that it took Abram quite a bit of time to actually get to that place where he could go sacrifice Isaac, where he could take that journey to go up to Mount Moriah and raise his arm with knife in hand and, you know, tie up his son. It took like 10 chapters for him to get there. And in those 10 chapters, you actually see instances where he exhibits remarkably little faith or even no faith at all. There's not once, but twice he passes Sarah off as his wife, or not Sarah off as his sister, so that he wouldn't be killed as he journeyed through these foreign lands. And I mean, one rationale he used was technically Sarah was his sister, right? But he conveniently left out the part that Sarah was his wife as well. And if you think about it, if he was so convinced of God's faithfulness, if he was as obedient and as faithful as we make him out to be, then why would he have no hesitation leaving his country, leaving his family, yet also at the same time worry about Sarah, or worried about himself being killed on account of Sarah? Like, if his faith was so strong, if his faith was so incredible and great as we make it out to be, why would he not worry leaving his country, yet worry or fret about the fact that he might be killed over his sister, his wife? And what I submit to you today is that when God called Abram, he didn't call this great man of faith, but he called a really imperfect man who was filled and fraught with insecurity. And there's so much insecurity and all junk within him that that's why it took 10 chapters for God to really work all that out. See, God didn't... This call, we don't really see how Abram's thinking. We don't see what he's feeling. He's saying, like, you don't see him battling, wrestling with this decision to go or not to go. And a lot of times in life, we say, like, oh, should I do this? Should I not do that? Should I move here? Should I change jobs? Should I start dating this person? Should I, you know, whatever, like, we have this inner monologue, this inner dialogue that we go through that we don't get to see in Abram. But what you can see through the text and what hopefully we can, what I can help draw out today is that Abram was this really, really imperfect man and really insecure person. Now, more so than what would appear in the text. And it's not to put down Abram and say like, ah, you know, the biblical writers got it wrong. All the preachers have got it wrong. He's not this great man of faith. He is a great man of faith, but he became this great man of faith. And that should serve as encouragement for us that we can become Christians that exhibit great faith. And God is transforming us. It's not some time in the future where he will take you and place you through the grinder that you will become. You are becoming this great person of faith, and that should be encouragement for us. And so that's really the first thing I want to draw attention to is this insecurity. See, Abram had great insecurity, and us too. Right? I know we're in Hong Kong, and we're all very accomplished people. Being in Hong Kong, that's probably one of the trademarks, is that everyone is very accomplished. Especially in our community, being in a more expat community, you have to be accomplished and adequate and able to do your job and able to perform and able to produce and in order to be in Hong Kong, because that's the nature of jobs, because it demands so much. It demands that you produce. It demands that you meet your KPIs and you exceed them. And what are your goals and, you know, all that fun stuff. And because of that, we seemingly don't have insecurities sometimes, or we have insecurities, but we manage them well. But like Pastor Kenny was saying this past Sunday about worries, if you don't have worries, there's actually something wrong with you. He didn't use it in those words, but I will. There's something wrong with you if you don't have worries, because everyone has worries. You're just very good at one, denying that you have worries, or managing them, thinking that you have the skills and the knowledge of how to manage them. And that's good. But you have to take a look at yourself and say, like, you know, I do struggle with these things. And it's also beginning to be honest with yourself. Because if you can't be honest with yourself and say, like, no, I don't struggle with them. I have worries, but I can deal with them fine. You know, I can manage them well. If you can't admit to yourself, then how are you going to go to God and say to him, like, hey, I have issues? How can you go before him and say, like, I need your help? Because we really do need his help. See, our insecurities or the things that we struggle with that you know, that we don't like to show people, they're not bad things. I mean, they are bad things. But the fact that they are there and that they manifest themselves is not a bad thing. I would actually say it's a good thing. Because you can only deal with your junk when you know that it's there. When they start coming up, that means, like, hey, that's a sign, like, hey, you got stuff to deal with. You got things that you have to deal with. Like, if I have a runny nose, I don't just keep taking tissue and wiping my runny nose. I figure out, like, maybe I have a cold and I should start dressing warmer. And I probably shouldn't wear shorts and t-shirt in, like, 10-degree weather. And I don't know what else that can exacerbate a cold. Like, drinking cold stuff on a cold day, which is a Chinese thing. I still don't get it. Anyways, let's go back to Abram. See, one of his insecurities is his lack of familiarity. And you see this in chapter 12, and you actually see this in chapter 11, the chapter before it. He wanted his family with him. And that's why in chapter 12, the focus on verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So what did the Lord say to him? Now the Lord said to Abram in this chapter 12, verse 1, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. Leave your family. Leave them behind. Don't take anybody with you. Just you and Sarah and your household, meaning his servants. Don't take anybody with you. Don't take anything familiar. And yet in verse 4, and Lot went with him. He's like, well, it's not Abram's decision. Like, yeah, of course it was Abram's decision. Whether to let someone come along with you. Lot was his nephew. I'm like, okay, I'll take you along. You can tag along. Even though Abram might not have asked Lot to come along, he allowed him. He allowed this familiarity to be with him, to give him comfort in a land that he did not know. Because God's going to say, I'm going to take you to land which I will show you. You don't know it yet, but You will know that you're there when I tell you you're there, which is a very daunting thing for him to hear. And so he brought Lot along with him. And it was very important for him, for family to be with him. Now, this might not come out in chapter 12 as much, but you actually see this in chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 31. Okay. So this is before he left his family. He's actually living in Mesopotamia, and you find this out in verse 28, where it goes, Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of Chaldeans, or Babylon, Mesopotamia area. So in verse 31, chapter 11, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Okay. So, from this verse, you see that Abram was supposed to go into Canaan. Now, it's not entirely clear. So people can say like, well, no, they just decided as a whole entire family to go into Canaan. And they went to Haran and then they stopped there. Okay, but I would argue that Abram was the one that wanted to go to Canaan. Even just looking at this verse without doing any more research, I'm like, well, why didn't Abram continue into Canaan? And why did he stop at Haran? Maybe because his father was too old and couldn't travel and he wanted to stay with his dad. That's fine, but again, it's that familiarity. He didn't want to leave his father. Like, we all have reasons why we don't want to do things, and they're legitimate reasons, right? And that's one thing I want to stress, is like, we have legitimate reasons, but we also have legitimate reasons to continue on. See, the original intention of Abram or his family was to go into Canaan, but they stopped Haran for whatever reason. And there's actually one text that makes it clear that it was supposed to be Abram that was supposed to go into Canaan and not stop at Haran, but he didn't, you know, leave his family, leave his father and mother and cleave to Sarah and continue on. And so in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, we actually find evidence that the passage in chapter 12, or God's call to Abram, actually came before they left Mesopotamia, before they left Babylon. So in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, it says that Abram received the call to leave his country and family when he was in Mesopotamia, meaning Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, takes place before Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, chronologically. So really, Abram receives the call. What God says to him, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, actually comes in the time from verse 28 to 30. Then, after receiving the call, then he goes out. Okay, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, and work out the chronology. So he was supposed to go into Canaan, but yet he didn't. He stayed with his family because it was familiar. And so we see that even in responding to God's call, even in his obedience, it was punctuated by disobedience. You can see that he didn't actually do fully what God asked him to do. He went one step into Haran and stayed there until later I'm going to keep going forward. And that's why the author makes a point about Lot. The text makes it a point that Lot is specifically pointed out to be with Abraham. And it's not just once, but it's actually three times. So in chapter 12, verse 4, and Lot went with him. In chapter 13, verse 1, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev after he lied about Sarah. Okay, another instance of insecurity. He and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. So again, Lot is still with him. He's still clinging on to this in familiarity, trying to have this idea of familiarity with him. In verse 5, chapter 13, now Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. So Lot is constantly here. And as you go along the text, you actually realize Lot becomes some kind of an anchor for Abraham, holding him back. Because this insecurity actually held Abram back from receiving more revelation of the promise that God had revealed to him in the beginning of chapter 12. See, in chapter 13, Lot and Abraham's servants begin to fight over the land because their herds were getting too big and the land could no longer support the two. So they ended up separating. And what Lot did was that he took the land that was pleasing to the eye. And Abraham being, you know, this is him starting his character starting to come out. Being such a gracious guy, he lets his nephew take first dibs, right? I mean, we come from an Asian background. I would say we're all Chinese ethnic, right? Except one Korean. Welcome. But we understand this idea of piety and respecting your elders and letting your elders go first. As a kid, I would always, like, when we have dinner in restaurants, the round table, I'm like, oh, sweet. Dish gets set down. I'm like, and I get slapped on the hand. I'm like, you let your grandparents go first. But here, Abram lets Lot go first. Okay? And so Lot chooses what's pleasing to the eye, leaving his uncle the scraps. But check it out. Genesis 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Okay, that's very key. After Lot had separated from him. Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. See, there's that very subtle but very important commentary that the author writes. Verse 14, after Lot had separated from him, it was only after Lot had left Abraham, after Abraham was basically forced, his hand was forced to jettison Lot from his camp. Because I think that if Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen did not fight, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I mean, be fine. We're one family, you know, we can just stay together. But because of this fight, he had no choice but to, okay, it's not good for a family to be together in such close proximity. Therefore, you go your way, I'll go my way. No harm, no foul, right? But it was only until he was able to say that, until he was able to let Lot go, that God began to show Abram exactly the land that he was going to receive. Because before, God just told Abram, you know, go to the land that I will show you. And in chapter 12, verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. But there was no real specific. You know, a lot of... I'll get into that later. But it was only until after Lot had left that God told Abram the land that he's going to receive, right? Look north, south, east, west. And God told Abram how many descendants that he would have. And it's not even how many. It's you're going to have descendants without number, without limit. And this is your inheritance. This is your legacy. But this all came after Lot had left. And in fact, now, in showing Abram the land, he didn't show Abram the land from a fixed point. Okay, you stand here and you look north, you look south, you look east, you look west. This is the land I'll give to you. See, it's very limited. It's like, okay, as far as the eye can see, yes, that's quite a bit of land. But what he told Abram is you travel around the land and then you look. And this is all the land that I will show you or I will give to you. He's going to give to him so much more land than just from a standing point. You're going to see so much. You're going to receive so much. But again, it's only until he separated from Lot. And and for us, you know, a lot of the times, you know, it's not a lot of times. I think every day God is calling us to a higher level. He wants to bring us to another level, another position, or he wants to bless us with more and more and more. And when he does that, actually what happens is that at the same time, I think he works his methods in such a way where our insecurities start coming up. Right? Just like how Abram held on to Lot, we hold on to our insecurities and things that we hang on to because they're familiar or they provide us comfort in this unknown land. Like, you have to understand why God had to take Lot, or why God wanted Lot to separate from Abram. When he separated Lot, he chose a choice land. Right? He chose the Jordan Valley, seeing that it was watered everywhere. It was very lush. It was very nice. He wouldn't have to work that hard, right? And then later in chapter 13, you see that Lot settles his tents by Sodom, meaning it's a city, it's established. There's people there. He wouldn't have to work very hard. And later in chapter 19, you see that Lot actually becomes one of the leaders of the city of Sodom. So Lot chose, in his choices, you see that he chose what was established, what was already there. Versus Abram, he had to wander, he had to dig wells for himself, he had to do all these, like, establish himself. Right? And I think that if Abram continued journeying with Lot around, he would just be held back, because Lot was like, let's just do it this way, or let's just do it this way. And a lot of times our insecurities or these hang-ups that we have about stepping up into this higher calling that God has for us does that to us. Like, let's just not, pray. Let's not do offering prayer, or don't pick me for offering prayer, because it's so daunting. Like, stepping up in the middle of, not even 200 people and praying. If you are afraid of offering prayer, don't. There's a script. It's very easy to read, right? And everyone's eyes are closed. No one is looking at you. Just do it. There's nothing daunting about offering prayer. And when you do it, you actually, God blesses you. But Lot in the story represents our insecurities holding us back from the calling that God has called us to. And, we, like I said before, we all have insecurities and we're all very good at managing them. And because we can't let go, we hold on to certain things, we can't step up into this new calling. It weighs us down. After the anniversary conference, I really felt in my spirit, and also just talking, just at house church, there's this new level, new call, not a new calling, but an expansion or amplification of where we are at. And it's not just me. I firmly believe this for the whole church, that where you're at, that you have, God has given you this amplification of power, of ministry, of ability to do things, to minister, right? And you have to realize that. And I felt it so strongly, during the anniversary conference. It could also be we just fasted and God was really speaking. But that's what I firmly believe. And the question today is, are you willing to take that step? What insecurities are starting to come up for you as you pray, as you really have to just think in your life, okay, where do I start kind of coming into, not conflict, but God is starting to bring things up, where I act somewhat irrationally at times. Like, those things are where your insecurities are shrouded in. And as we pray and as we worship, ask, are you willing to take that step? So as Cindy comes up and leads us into worship, two things that we can do today as we pray. And just pray and ask God to reveal where your insecurities are. They're not bad things. They can be scary, but it's just like the boogeyman. It's not like the boogeyman, but you know what I'm saying, right? They can't really hurt you, because God is for you and God is calling you, like, hey, I want to deal with these things with you, and I am here with you to deal with them. So ask God, Lord, where in my heart, where in my life do I deal with these things? And acknowledge them. So when you acknowledge them, then you can say, okay, these things are real. I need to work on them. I need to deal with it. God can help me. And second, ask God to give you the strength and the faith to, you know, really make a break from these things that hold you back. It's not to say you complete, like, I'm not telling you to kick your family out of your life. But maybe for some people, right, it's taking a step back from the family or drawing that boundary. It could be. I don't know exactly what's going on in your life, but face these insecurities head on, and as God reveals them, you know, deal with them. Even like write them down so you can remember and so you can go back to what you wrote down and just be like, okay, Lord, you know, I continue just to pray about these things. So let's pray about that today. Yes, Father, I just pray for all of us here today and anyone that will listen online later, God. I just pray, Lord, that they see, God, open up their eyes, God, to see the calling that you are giving to them, God, this what your purposes are. And, Lord, I pray that they're just so convicted, Lord, by you, God, not by my words, but by you, Lord, and how you want them to just step up into this next level that you are bringing them to, God, that you are elevating them to, God. And as you elevate them, God, I just pray, Lord, that you give them the strength to deal with or face their insecurities or their hangups, whatever it may be, face them head on and to know that you are behind them and that you are with them and that you have given them every power to succeed, everything that they need to overcome and not just to manage, not just to suppress, God, but that you are with them to help them overcome, that you have already done it and that you are working in us to do the same for us, God. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, how you're transforming us, God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for those in our community who are sick and yet have to receive salvation. Let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for just perseverance and endurance as they go through this process. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for Singapore and SPSG with Peace, I'm Kim. SP Indonesia, led by Pastor Salamat, and SP New York, led by lay leaders Ruth and Jess. Let's just pray for God's covering over these three congregations and for just the power of God, the presence of God to move so mightily within these three communities. Thank you. Let's pray for our education department. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, the youth and college group. Just pray for Holy Spirit to work in the lives of our youth and kids, and just for Holy Spirit to really transform their lives. Pray for the Prayer and Healing Ministries, IP, Well, and River. Let's pray for the ministers, that as a minister, they just really speak God's word. And for the people that come for healing, that they are able to find healing and that they were able to just find freedom through not the people, but through you, God. Let's pray for today's outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray as the servants go, that they shine the light of God into dark places of the city. Pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship, of community, of going into the Word, and of prayer and worship. Pray, Father, thank you. Thank you that you have not made your purposes a mystery to us, God, that you have not hidden them from our eyes, but you have shown us, God. You have shown us what your purpose is, Lord, and how they manifest in our lives, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you give us a continuing revelation of what it is, Lord, that we are continually encouraged and just, yeah, driven by just how amazing they are, God. Lord, help us not deny the things that we need to deal with in our lives, but give us a strength, Lord, to tackle them head on, Lord, knowing that you are behind us, knowing that you are with us, God, knowing that you speak to us, Lord, and you have so much in store for us, God. So, Lord, may we receive all that you have planned out for us, God. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you for your favor. We pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.